The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 534. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez. You're muted.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr. and Brian Manjoma.
Or you could not steal people's artwork. That's also an option.
Yeah, you could do that. Man. All right, guys, we're back with another one question show. A little bit of a hot one. It's so hot that I had to keep some of the guys in line, like, get saved for the show. It's crazy, so we're going to get right into it, man. I'm going to start off with Jay Shep's question. Manny, this question's right for you, sir. Directly directed at you. But obviously, we could all chime in. What are Manny's thoughts on this whole Bungie stealing artwork situation? But obviously, before you answer the question, can you give us an update? Because we didn't get to talk about this on the last show. Like, what is going on with Marathon and the plagiarism? What is this about?
Because it literally happened, what was it, on Friday?
Yes.
It happened on Friday. Like, how I found out about it, because Gene Park, like, posted a fucking thing, like, a thing at, like, 4 a.m. in the morning, an article at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Crazy.
So it was an interview with an artist who did a massive post about essentially a bunch of assets in Marathon are all using their work.
So
it's like different designs, text designs, like aesthetics, all kinds of stuff. That is almost that person's style, like of design. So yeah, and then not far after that, Bungie said, "Yep, hands up. We did it."
Oh, man.
So it's like, it's a big old clusterfuck, because number one, you think, okay, hey, it's a big old studio that's not going to do stuff like this. But, you know, the thing that kind of gets my craw on this thing is they knew about it. They threw up their hands instantly and said, yes, a lot of it's been taken from this artist. Then why the hell didn't you contact them? Why didn't you go back behind the scenes? Like, listen, because they claimed that, okay, there was this other artist that had worked on it. It's not working for Bungie anymore. And they used a bunch of their work. So then why not initially contact the artist and then have them design new things to replace the shit that this fucking other guy did?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Because they wanted, because they were hoping no one would fucking know. And that's so... You know, and this what I would say is that this is also the symptom of what happens in the industry, which is what they call photo bash. What it is is essentially it's a quick and dirty way of doing concept art. And a lot of concept artists do this stuff. They'll take photos, they'll take all kinds of different other people's artwork, and then essentially it's to try to get to a solution quicker. So as opposed to sitting there and painting a bunch of stuff, you're like, okay, I'm going to use this thing there. But initially, those things are only meant for internal use only. They shouldn't be shown to the public. And whoever does the concept art should make that incredibly clear. This isn't the first time that something like this has happened with a company. So, Naughty Dog was caught red-handed too, where they used a photographer's piece inside of one of their concept arts, and it made it into Uncharted. In fact, it was sitting right on top of Drake's, right above Drake's fireplace. It was this painting that they did, essentially photo bashed together. And according to some of the research that's going on, this is also not the first time that Bungie has done this.
Uh-oh.
So this is the fifth occasion that this has happened. So there's a bunch of stuff, you know, for they say with the, at least from the source, it says it's been happening since 2012. So yeah. We're Destiny, right?
It's yep, been it's happening all Destiny, during Destiny. Yeah.
So it's a bunch of Destiny stuff. Like, you know, there's literally concept art where they literally just ripped off a person's a figure from the person's artwork and swapped the head out. Still has the lighting from whatever the original artwork was. It even they're even able to identify a background character and all kinds of other stuff. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but it happened and it sucks. And the thing is, the thing about it is that these things have happened before in the past, but none of them have gotten this sort of. We never heard about this.
No, right? Not about Bungie. No, not that I'm
not
aware
about,
of.
But not about yeah. Bungie, or like it didn't hit so hard. That it literally, you know, hit, you know, mainstream media. It was just like, okay, I'm sure it was just a guy who was like, hey, this happened. Maybe it was a little article here or there, but this is probably the most high profile case of this,
yeah,
of this art theft.
Do you think
it's happened with them?
Do you think it's high profile because Gene reported it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
No, he definitely bought attention to it because he legitimately went out and talked to the artist, you know, who did it. You know, and interviewed them about what the issue was. So no, that's the thing about it. It's like there's a lot of cases of art theft that happened within the game industry, but they sort of go on, you know, they get unrecognized,
yeah,
or unseen, because sometimes, you know, a lot of times what happens, it'll be from a smaller artist. It just so happens that this person is actually a pretty well known designer. You know, they have a pretty strong following. So yeah.
Damn, they fucked up.
They fucked up seriously, you know, and they claim that whoever is there, they didn't mention the person's name, obviously, doesn't work there anymore. So was it the same person that was stealing artwork from other artists for Destiny?
Yeah, or do you think it's just like a studio culture thing?
No, I think it is a part of what happens when photo bashing becomes for concept. Again, photo bashing is like if you took a big old collage and you were able to essentially take different elements that you're not sitting there painting things and doing all this additional work. But the problem is they should know better not to show any of that stuff to the public. That shouldn't be on the table as far as like promotional artwork or any of that stuff. If it's going to be used as some sort of concept art, it should be reevaluated and changed. It shouldn't be shown to the rest of the public. So that's the biggest mistake that they had. Whatever concepting that this person did behind the scenes, and they probably, you know, they used all kinds of different elements from this other designer, they should have changed those things before it even hit anything that became final asset.
Yeah, that's crazy. Chris, what do you think about all this, man?
Well, it's a systemic problem for sure, because, I mean, that art director went on that podcast and he had to fess up to it and he was getting bashed. But how did all these assets get approved? They have to go through approvals, right? They have to go up the chain to someone, probably him, and other people see it. You know where it came from, right? You can't tell me they didn't know where it came from. And it's in the game, right? And then people do an alpha test, and they're like, "Oh shit, this has watermarks on it, right?"
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That, to me, like, how that is either gross incompetence or this was allowed. That you have a culture of this problem, because, and I think it's the second one, because this is happening with Destiny too. They have a problem with art theft, right?
Yeah.
So this is a systemic problem inside of Bungie.
That's what I think too. I think it's a culture within the company itself.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because, like, hey, we have rushed deadlines and they just don't care. And they're hoping Sony have their backs with litigation or whatever. Whatever the reason, it's bad. It's a horrible practice. You have to compensate any type of work you get outside. Like Manny said, you have to contact the artist, ask permission, or fucking contract them to make new assets.
Yeah, contract them.
You know, and make new assets. And that's it. If you like their work, then just contract them, work out something, and get new assets, right? And they're yours, right? Start, get legal stuff involved.
One thing that also tends to happen is if they can't get the artists to do the work, they will do, you know, essentially a style pull. They'll essentially be like, okay, we can't get so-and-so to draw this or design this. We'll do something exactly like it, you know?
Yeah.
And some, so which, you know, again, like when you do those sorts of things, you have to make sure you're far enough away from the original source so that, you know, you don't get situations like this. But at the same time, you can't copyright a style. You can copyright a font. You can copyright a specific design, yeah, like sense, but you can't do a style.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I agree with that. But this, and just leading into the next thing, this is like Bungie telling Firewalk, hold my beer. Let's see how fast we can get this thing to fail, right? This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You have already bad blood. The game already looks like trash. Yeah. And now you got this on top of it, right? Doesn't play well, doesn't look good, and you're stealing art. This is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but going back to your other point, it's true. It's like, it would probably, actually not probably, it would cost less to hire the artist than go through all this legal shit afterwards.
Well, know? I mean, here's the thing. Who says there's any legal thing that's going to happen? We don't, like...
Yeah, that's also true.
That's like, you know, maybe they'll try to smooth this thing over before it gets that far, but like, you know, half the time, a lot of artists don't even have the fucking money to take these things to fucking court.
Do you think that's the reason they do it? They're like, these motherfuckers can't sue us. Who cares?
Yeah. No.
That's fucked up.
I definitely think that's it, because Bungie now has the weight of Sony and their legal team behind them, right? So I think, who's going to sue us, right?
That's a good point.
Even if they find out, what are they going to do? Take us to court, do an injunction? Who cares? We got lawyers, right?
Exactly.
I think that's probably the answer. That's why they do it, because they know they could get away with it.
Well, they but here's the thing.
And like, they have gotten away with it.
Not to mention, like, if you're an artist, again, it let's say that this artist didn't copyright her. I can't remember if it's a he or her. I'll just say that they didn't copyright and you know, the designs and the fonts for this stuff, and then they try to they essentially, you know, obviously it is always assumed that, you know, when you make something you own the copyright, but it doesn't work that way. You have to have legitimate proof that you made this design, so that means copywriting it and then taking it to the thing. You can't do the stupid the what we call in the industry the poor man's copyright, because I don't even think the courts even look at that shit anymore, which is essentially taking your idea and shipping it to yourself, right? So that you have, and don't open that envelope, because that can't be tampered with, right? You know, the postage date. But even that, you can't really do that. And a lot of times they throw those things right out. You have to have that thing copyright and trademark and all that stuff in order before you can even prove any of this stuff. So, you know, granted, it's not incredibly expensive to do that sort of thing, but you have to have all of your anything that you put out into the world, especially when, that's why I always say it's a catch 22 as to your art being stolen by someone or something, aka AI, because even if you do it, you know, you have to do the footwork of something like this. And I think the smartest thing that this person did was essentially throw it on the court of public opinion, because they probably wouldn't have been able to take it to court otherwise. The actual.
Yeah.
And then not to mention how long it would take for these things to get in. Bungie could already have the damn game out already, and they're still fighting. This artist is still fighting this thing in court.
Shit.
Because the justice system doesn't move fucking fast. Not to mention, let's say this person is from another country. There's also, that's also another thing in the, we don't
know. Like, legal maneuvering, like usually companies will move court dates or move the case to another venue to try to bleed you out, right? Because you're both paying legal fees at the time. Sony can pay legal fees for years, right? And not take a hit. That the artist can't, right? So if Sony keeps doing delays and then going, I want to move this to this venue. I want to move this to, forget New York. We're going to move it to Texas. We're going to move it to California, right? Now that artist got to travel to California, re-register the case, do all sorts of stuff. Their lawyer has to probably travel, or they got to get different lawyers. Costs money, right? So they try to bleed you out. Like this, these are cases, like this is why when you have class actions or whatever, some of them go on like 2 decades, right? If you can even last that long, right? Who can last that long?
It's funny. I'm looking at anti-real. I believe it is a girl, because I don't want to keep saying gay. I'm looking at this art. I'm the first thing that comes to mind. I'm like, oh, this looks like Marathon. Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why. That is insane.
Even, And even the designer is like, oh, you know, it's obvious that this person and we have the same aesthetics. No, it's not obvious that you and they have the same aesthetics. You stole it.
Fuck out of here. Now, they're crazy, man. Yeah, so there you go. We'll see what happens. Because, like you said, Chris, this isn't the only bad thing that's happened with Marathon. Apparently, and we will get to it soon because with the next question, but there's another thing that's happening in Marathon that, Sony, y'all fucking up. You're about to have another Concorde. All right, next up here, a couple questions from Mob Hits. And don't worry, J-Ship, we'll get to your other questions. I just wanted to put the Marathon ones back to back. From Mob Hits here, with Bungie being scrutinized for stealing shit and Jade Raymond's departure, is the PlayStation Games as a Service initiative dead? I think we could say it's dead.
I forgot who made the post. They literally had the list of, like, it had 18 titles that they had listed.
18?
18. Wow. I forgot who it was, but it was a whole list of them, like 18 titles, and I think it's like less than half of them are still exist.
Yeah. Here's some of the vibes have never been worse, quote-unquote, at Bungie. Morale's at an all-time low with developers worried about Marathon's future. They allegedly canceled the entire campaign marketing schedule for June. Oh, shit! You know, and then the other thing I heard is, like, guess what? The game might be delayed till next year. So
they got a lot of things to fix with that thing. Was it being being an extraction shooter that nobody really cares to want? You know, nothing like anything like what the original Marathon was ever.
One of the things, okay,
not to mention.
Go ahead, Carlos. Yeah.
Oh, and that's just not to mention that the whole Jade Raymond situation as well. Yeah. We don't know what the hell is going to happen in that studio with their games as a service game. So. Yeah, Sony. Yeah. Sony. Jim Ryan's legacy, man. That's this.
There was a. I posted. From one of these other guys on Twitter, posted a whole list of what do you call it? Of all the things that Jim Ryan was responsible, and then I posted it was a King Killmonger saying, "This is your king."
No, because you still have Jim Ryan stance out there. Crazy enough, you know.
Yeah.
He made a lot of money.
He made us a lot of money. He didn't make you any money, you know?
He make you money.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. I forgot what I was. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. So yesterday, you know, I was hanging out with a bunch of, you know, gaming writers. So obviously we're talking about this among other things. And, you know, one of the things, and we talked about this on the show too. It's like, you know, a company sees a game. It's like, oh, that shit's making a lot of money. Let's make our game. But the problem is, since games take forever to actually make, by the time you jump on this bandwagon 5 years later, it's like no one cares about that bandwagon anymore. You know, like when I reviewed Suicide Squad, the one that came out last year, that was my strap line. I said, 10 years too late to the looter shooter party. You know, and now these guys are trying to jump into the extraction shooter party when that shit's already passed. You know, so.
It's the thing about it is like Sony's going about this the wrong way. It's not supposed to take of 5 to 6 years to make those titles.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be low budget investments, you know?
Not to them. You know, no, a Marathon like, costs like $1 billion or some crazy shit.
It suffers from, you know, what a lot of people call the Bungie, which is that's also, you know, like it's the same thing was happened with Destiny, where Destiny costs way more than it should have to develop because of just the way their internal politics, you know, the way they work. They probably didn't have a full-on idea, and I feel like this is another one of those situations. A lot of money being poured into this thing, this 5-6 year investment, where they really should have been a smaller affair, where initially you can just like you have a smaller. Like a simpler idea, and then as the time progresses, that's when you start adding things. Like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds wasn't a expensive game. It was it just had one thing that it did well, which was that, you know, which was the shrinking battle royale thing. And then eventually they started adding things, and it's the same thing with Fortnite. It's like they had their thing that they did, and then they started adding to it. And I think a lot of these things are just not, they're spending way too much on these ideas.
Yeah. So, yeah, the whole initiative obviously been a failure. And now Sony only has one major AAA game coming out this. Mm-hmm. Joe Sayote, that's it. You know, Death Stranding doesn't count. So yeah, this whole thing is just a hot mess, you know? But Rich, I want to get your thoughts on this, man. Sony's Games as a Service initiative.
Well, that is a phenomenal question by Mob Hits. Marathon will be a flop. And speaking of Marathon, it sounds to me like Bungie will be running Marathon trying to escape all this bad news that they're going to be getting and all the negative perception they already have.
No, yeah, I agree 100%. They're going to be running, but for the wrong reasons. It's insane. It's like we were very skeptical about all this for years, and look what's happened. We were pretty much right again, you know? But, you know, so Rich, I guess don't expect to see Marathon at Summer Game Fest now, you know? But
well, yeah, that wasn't that definitely there. But one thing I will say is obviously a lot of blame directed Bungie as should, but I kind of feel like then in Sony especially, like I definitely want to hear all of the Sony fanboys, they better be criticizing this. And this is a direct message to anyone this podcast. I want to hear what your explanation for all this stuff happening, because I think it's no everybody needs.
Yeah, no, well said. I 100% agree. All right, anybody else want to jump in on that?
I just agree with what Rich said. You know, you need to these are the things that we've been talking about for years. These are the things that we've been warning about people about when everyone in the Sony camp was dancing like it's the end of Return of the Jedi and the Moon of Endor. And it's this is not going to end well. And this is looking really bad. Yeah, they sold 77 million copies or consoles. But what the hell are you playing on that shit?
You know,
you're playing Xbox games. That's what you're playing on it. I swear, man, if Microsoft was able to hold out just a little bit longer, you know,
what do you mean?
I don't know. Like at least hold out a little bit longer to essentially try to pull people over. Like I feel like this was the year that all the shit started dropping.
Oh yeah, you mean like it's had people just come to Xbox, but now you don't need an Xbox.
Now you don't need an Xbox, and they're making good money, so they're not gonna stay third party, and that's just the way it is. The way it
is. Oh, man. Right. Hey, yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts about this, man? The whole Marathon arts theft, and then this whole games as a service nonsense.
I think that the whole art theft thing is just so funny because it's happened before and just continues to happen. And one thing that really irks me is the whole apology thing, and it irks me because, like, with any type of situation like this, again, this is even goes outside of video games, and we've seen it with movie actors and YouTubers and whatnot. They always apologize after they've been outed, never before they've been outed, and they say that they are sorry. And I never believe that they are sorry, because if they were sorry for their actions, they would have had to apologize. Well, they would have thought to themselves, this is wrong, and then apologized without being outed. So the fact that you apologize after getting outed means that you're not sorry that you did the thing. You're sorry that you got caught doing the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the big thing that always irks me. It's like, I know you're not sorry for doing the thing. You're sorry that you got caught doing the thing. And it's the same thing every single time. Mm-hmm. So that's just so infuriating.
Yeah,
so,
well, you notice how they frame their apology. They never say we're sorry for our actions, right? Or that in this case, art theft. They usually couch it that they're sorry that people feel a certain way about it. Like, we're sorry that you're so angry at us, and we're sorry. It's like that's not a real apology. No, addressing the issue.
Nope. And do they say whether or not they'll be putting stuff in place to prevent this from happening again?
Oh, hell no. They just like this time, next time, gadget. Nope. They'll just
there's my answer, and that's also what makes it even worse. You know, it's like that. It honestly just reminds me of that. Was it BP or Exxon that did that apology video, and then South Park just mocked it?
Oh, BP did that. That's right. Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, it just feels like that. It's like it's not. There's no genuineness to it. There's nothing. It's just hollow words being said so that they can say something. So whatever. I don't care. And of course, this is a massive stain on Bungie again. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on at Bungie. But then again, as we said, like these game studios are not the same that they were 10, 15 years ago. So maybe that's what happened.
Shout out to Jay Shep, who's joining us in the chat. So he has some interesting comments. He goes, Marathon will never see the light of day. Sony is due to make their last payment. After that, they will cancel Marathon and work on Destiny 3. I wouldn't be surprised if they do cancel it. Chris, what do you think about that?
I agree with that. I was actually, that's a good call, because I was thinking that. I was like, this is definitely a worse situation than Concord. Concord, everybody saw it and like, this is trash. It came out. They didn't have these controversies. It's just a trash game. Just a woke, trash, fucking garbage. But this has too much flack going in. The alpha test was bad. The art theft stuff. It just has too much going against it. You have no interest. So it's better for Sony to fold it now, like cut their losses, right? And just cancel beforehand. I think he's 100% right. I think either put them on a new project, and you better get something to mitigate this art theft problem. You better put some policies in place. And I don't know if you need oversight, if you need outside people to do some oversight on them. I don't know what, but you got to do something. But I agree with him 100%. This game is dead in the
world. Damn. Rich, I know you wanted to say something, but then I got a quick comment after that.
I just want to ask a question. You guys said this art theft situation has happened before, right?
Yeah.
So we can pretty much say that it was destined to happen again.
Yes. Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, no surprise. No surprise.
No, oh, man. So, Chris, going back to your point, it's like Marathon, looked at Concord, who the game was released, was out for 2 weeks, one of the worst launches ever. Marathon looked at it. It's like, hold my beer. I got you. Because it seems this game may not even come out now.
Yeah, we're dead in alpha testing.
Yeah, like forget releasing. We're just not gonna come out at all.
Not at all, yeah.
Shit.
So what's Fair Games gonna do?
Close.
How can we top this one?
Yeah, close. That's what they're gonna do.
You won't have to worry about that until next year. It definitely ain't coming out this year.
Oh man, dead in the water. All right, man. Let's move on to some lighter news here. Mob Hits again. This one's an interesting question. Which is better, the Capcom Fighting Collection 1 or 2? Also, do we need a third? Very interesting question. So obviously the first one came out 2022. And you could pretty much call that the Darkstalkers Collection. And then this new one, you could kind of call it the Capcom vs. SNK Collection. So, well, I mean, we're going to get a little bit more into it. But the short answer is, I'm just going to say now, which one's better? The one that has the games that you like the most. Let's just be honest here. Mm-hmm. Because the lineup of the games in each collection is so different. They're hard to compare, you know? If you like Darkstalkers, I mean, if you're a Capcom guy, buy both of them. But yeah, if you're a big Darkstalkers guy, you'll like the first one better. If you want Capcom versus SNK, you want this one. And the 3D games, obviously. But I would say the first compilation is a little bit more diverse with its lineup, because you got Puzzle Fighter in there, you got Gem Fighter, you get the robot fighting game with what's his face?
Cyberbots.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more, but then again, you could say, but half that collection is fucking Darkstalkers games, so touche for that. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with the new one, you get half of it is 2D games, the other half is 3D games. Some 3D games have never been released in North America. So yeah, it really comes down to what you prefer. I mean, I don't think one is objectively better than the other, because they both give you, at the end of the day, both give you the same features. And the first Capcom Fighting Collection was the one that started giving you all that cool stuff, all the filters, all the button remapping, all the cool museum shit. So you're not going to go wrong with either. But if I'm speaking personally, which one do I like more? The Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection. I know that wasn't a question, but still. But again, that goes to my point, because that's all the games I really, really like, you know? I will say the first Capcom Fighting Collection doesn't have any duds. They're all great games. Marvel vs. Capcom Collection 2 has one dud, one big dud, the Fighting Jam, which is absolute trash, you know? But yeah, you can't really go wrong with either. They're both fantastic. And I really want Capcom to release a Street Fighter version like this, because the one we currently have, the 30th anniversary, was made by, I forgot what studio it was, but it wasn't Capcom. Capcom did make it, and it's not a good version of those games, you know? Like, it is not. So hopefully they'll do it right. But they're both fantastic, so go check them out. Check them both out. I'm still kind of annoyed that you can't get the second one physical at the moment. Manny, I've talked to some other people and they had the same situation as you. They pre-ordered shit and all of a sudden the pre-order is just gone.
Yeah, the pre-order is there. My pre-order is there, but it's just sitting there. But the funny thing is that actually happened with the Marvel vs. Capcom collection too.
Interesting.
Where it was just mysteriously, like, I had it there for a while and it just late showed up later. There's no date. Release date on it.
Yeah, and we can't even say, because I know they released the physical version later, but you could get the physical Switch version right now, you know?
Yeah. So what is it about that PS4 version is that's off?
Yeah, and I think you get the Xbox one too as well right now. So I don't know, something's up. But yeah, the collection is two different, so I can't say one's better than the other, you know? All right, next up. Ooh, we got a question from one of our longtime listeners, Mr. Ramudeth. Usually he likes to sponsor questions, but this one he has an actual original question. Now, no remakes this week. And Manny, this question's for you as well. You get a lot of questions. You're a popular boy tonight, you know?
What is this? what did I do this time?
Yeah. Actually, it looks like the question is for you and B. It goes, Manny, I saw your post about how getting online in a fighting game is like being thrown into the deep end of a pool. Can you explain this in more detail? Also, what does Tony think of Manny's take? Ooh, interesting.
But yeah, Manny's take.
But yeah, I saw your tweet. It was in response to basically somebody went on the Steam forum to talk about what to do about Justin Wong just destroying everybody in another fighting game. It was just this long-winded thing. But then you had an interesting take, which I'll just say right now, I agree with the last half of it, the first half. Not so much, but we'll get into that. But yeah, what would you think? Because I thought it was interesting.
So the way I likened it to being thrown into like a public pool. If you don't know how to swim, the most, a lot of times you'll have a situation where it's like on one end of the pool, one end of the pool, you have the kiddie side where there's a lot, or first time swimmers, old people, right? That usually stay on that side. The minute that if you jump onto the deep side, you don't know how to swim, you'll sink, right? Or if you're trying to swim, there's a bunch of assholes that usually hang out on that side of the that end of the ice, guys who know how to swim and make fun of you and do all kinds of bullshit and not let you do what you need to do. And that's what I see a lot of the fighting game online is. It's like you have this deep end that everybody gets thrown into, and everybody's, most of the people are better than you or whatever, you know, and you just get your ass thrashed. Why would you want to play that if you're a first time player, any of that other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So my somewhat solution, I thought of like, okay, let's say there was a checks and balances before you got in the pool. In other words, if you had your people that are, you already have an established set of people that have, because of their previous gaming history, right, they get put into a section that has a little bit more of a challenge to them. So in other words, they, based on how, you know, your rating on Street Fighter or any of those other games. So in other words, a report card that goes from all your different titles so that you end up being in a room that is more conducive to the people that are to the more.
What's up, Cat?
Yeah, shout out to Manny. He has a lot to say about this topic.
He's got a lot to say. And then that was one possibility, right? You had like a thing that already, or something that already sifts out the wheat from the chaff. So in other words, you have your initial, so you don't have a situation that Justin Wong can just jump into a fucking room and just whip everybody's ass in the lower ranks. Justin Wong will already be pushed off to the side to fight all the heavier guys. But obviously, there's an easy way around this. He can make a new email address, and then he can, do that all over. But I would say, like, try to get all those guys off to the side initially, or set them up already in their section, and then you have your people, your weaker players, or on their level and work their way up. The other thing I talked about,
I want to talk about the coaching thing. I found this very interesting.
The other one I was thinking of was a lifeguard. So every pool has a lifeguard, right? Or a person that keeps an eye over things. So what if you had a person to help you swim? What if you had that person? In other words, a lifeguard system, a person can hold on for a second.
The baddie's cat is going ham right now. You'll pick him up and just pet him or something. You know, that's probably what he wants. He's probably wants some attention. So So yeah, let me actually pull up Manny's tweet. Oh, there you go. Yeah, grab the cat. You know, that'll get him to shut up. he clearly wants attention, you know? There you go.
He's been an attention whore all day. Well, anyway.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, people get to see the cat now. Win-win. The cat gets attention. People get to see the cat. Perfect.
So what if there was like a system where, in other words, that promotes other players helping each other out? So where you will have like, I guess, a designated lifeguard who player that can essentially gives the other player a chance, helps them learn how to play the game, as opposed to just wailing on them and saying, hey, get good, right? And then what you do is you have like an incentives on it. Like, okay, you know, if you decide to be part of this the lifeguard or the trainer group, you get like cool things. Like, oh, hey, you get a little bit of money off of here, or you get maybe some cool new costume that is only for those people. Essentially, incentivize trying to teach other players how to get better, as opposed to just telling them to get good, or essentially having to watch them. What if you could sit with somebody like a Justin Wong? Let's say he applied for this thing or became part of this thing. What if you could sit with him? You know, if you fight him, he could teach you how to do it, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, interesting stuff. But here's what I wanted to say about that, because I see where you're coming from, and I really am interested in the latter part, the coaching stuff. But I would have wholeheartedly agree with you 10 years ago. But matchmaking exists now, and it's actually really good. Like, for example, in Street Fighter VI is the gold standard for this. When you first play the game, it has you play 10 preliminary matches to place you where you're supposed to go. I play those matches. It instantly threw me into silver ranks, which is pretty much in the middle. And I've never, ever had a single game in that. I've never played any match where I felt outclassed, because if you're, you know, in that, if you basically need to have a certain specific amount of points, right? Once you go over those points, you're placed up to another rank. You can never go back to a lower rank. And if you do, like, if you select a new character, you automatically will just reroll and get put right back into the higher ranks, because you're demonstrating how good you are. So that's, so Manny, hold on. Tekken does the same thing. You play 8 preliminary matches or so. I never had a problem with Tekken. I never feel like, oh, these guys are fucking me up. That's the gold example. Now, there's other fighting games like Fatal Fury that are exactly like you say. Actually, I would say they're worse, because Fatal Fury, they ask you, what rank do you feel you are? That, bro, are you fucking kidding me? So I went in there.
I'm a good swimmer.
Yeah, so I put myself as rookie, because I'm not that familiar with SNK. There were some pool hustlers in there, bro. I'm like, bro, you said a 20-hit combo on me. Like, I don't think you're a beginner, bro. So yeah, for fighting games that have a big population, matchmaking, it's not a problem. You will never get put in a room with crazy people like Justin Wong. And here's the other thing, right? The guys that are fighting Justin Wong, he is not going in there fighting, like, he is not the one fighting Scrubs. Scrubs are coming to him, you know? That's what's happening. He is not going into these lobbies because he wouldn't be allowed to. He has way too many points. But let's just say if you set your settings, so it's like, I want to face anybody. That's how they fight Justin Wong. He can't just roll in there. But that's some shit that would happen 10 years ago, or it still does happen in games with bad matchmaking, you know? And then the other problem is what I described, it's still good with Tekken and Street Fighter because they have the most. But with any fighting game, the ideal situation happens within the first 2 weeks when people are learning the game, right? After that, like, you try to go into Guilty Gear now, Manny, you're going to get destroyed. Who are the only people playing? Heavy dudes, you know? So the situation that you described, which would be cool, wouldn't work because there's no new people anymore. All of them I checked out. It's just the heavy guys. I think matchmaking has gotten a lot better. That's not an issue. Again, I've never played Street Fighter where I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting fucking straight. Unless I go into a lobby with the heavy guys, you know? So they've gotten much better with that. But I'm very intrigued by your coaching solution, you know? And it would be nice if people would do that. But the problem is a lot of these fighting game guys, they're a bunch of sweat lords who are just there for themselves, and they're not really going to try to teach the younger guys or whatever, or the less experienced people how to get somewhere. So, because it would be cool. There are people that are out there willing to help out others, but I don't think there's enough of them. But it would be nice,
you know? that's why I say you incentivize it. It's like, okay, so what am I getting by doing this?
Yeah.
That's, I mean, like.
Yeah, give them extra ranks or something, you know? Like, or, exactly. Some cool. Because every game has a fighter pass or whatever where you get kind of unique items. Give them extra shit for that or something, you know? And then here's, here's the other thing. Go ahead.
They're like. There are definitely, you know, the way art works. It's like a lot of people are just like, hey, why should I do this? What am I getting at? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, give them something for doing that. So in other words, to incentivize more people to want to do it, as opposed to just like, all right, you should be good. You should help. You know, it's just no.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also the situation you described is pretty much like the old school arcades. When you had those sweaty guys in there, they would just fuck everybody up. You wouldn't get a turn. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as you put your quarter in, you don't get to play. But that was way more prevalent back in the old days, man. Fighting games are a lot better with that now.
But like, you'll also find situations like, obviously, because there's an actual person standing next to another person. A lot of those guys when a little kid would roll up, they'd be a little bit more, give them a little bit more.
Yeah, they would. You know? They would, you know. That's a whole other topic I could get into, because one of the problems with fighting games now is like people go into ranked matches. They get fucking destroyed like 10 matches in a row and stuff. And they keep getting madder and madder and madder. And they just keep de-ranking. In the arcades, that wouldn't happen. What would happen in arcade? You go up, you fight against a strong guy. You get fucked up. You go right back to the line. And then what do you do during that time? You look at what the guy's doing. You talk to other people and stuff. You know, I wish there was a way to replicate that online. Because if you got, I mean, I know you could like rewatch your replays and see what you did. And I really like how Tekken tells you, hey, you could have done this. Oh, why don't you try that? You know, like you kind of like mess around with history. But people should not go into ranked, get fucked up 20 times in a row. No, stop. Like, if you want to replicate that arcade experience, stop after 3 matches, assess what you did wrong, and then come back. But the other problem is you don't have the other aspect where it's like, yo, man, he fucked me up. What do I do? You know, oh, you should do this, use that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the guy himself, yo, maybe you shouldn't do that against me. No, you're doing that again. You know, I wish there was a way to bring that aspect into online fighting games where you could actually talk to the person that fucked you up and they'd be like, oh, you'll try this, bro, you know? But yeah, it's very interesting though, but I agree with that. But those guys getting fucked up by Justin Wong, it's because they want to get fucked up. They're like, I want to party the high ranks, you know?
I just thought they were just getting thrown into the wolves.
No. That doesn't happen.
So
does happen in other fighting games though. Capcom fighting games, not so much, but that absolutely happens, Manny, where it's like, oh shit, what happened? You know, we get fucked up.
If they're willing to go and jump in there and then they quit after playing Justin Wong, that's their stupid. Own fault.
That is their own fault. And that's the other thing I want to say, right? I think anybody that refunds their game because Justin Wong beat him is fucking retarded. I'm just going to say it. You realize there's a lot more to do in this game. Bro, I've put 31 hours into Fighting Game Collection before. I haven't played a single match online. There's so much shit to do in the game. And I'll tell you this, if I ever go online and I get beat by Justin Wong, I'm recording that fucking clip. And I'm going to say...
Because you fucking fought Justin Wong.
Yeah, dude, that'd be awesome. You know, that's a badge of honor to get fucked up by Justin Wong. You know? So these dudes are crazy. What's going on, Jeff? Shout out to him. Jeff, since you're there, bro, happy belated birthday, brother. You know?
Yo, man, happy birthday.
Yeah, there you go. You and Manny are like 2 days apart when it comes to birthdays.
From one Taurus to another.
Jeffrey goes, when I would get bodied in VF5, I'd go to the home screen and watch other matches to cool off. Yeah, that's important. I purposely, when I'm playing online, if I lose 3 in a row, I stop. Take a break. Take a little break, because that's what you would do in the arcade. You know, you play like two best out of 3. If you get fucked up, cool off. Because it's not doing you any favors to just keep going. Because if you're already mad because you're losing, you're going to keep losing because you're fucking mad. Yeah, you know? And you're going to start getting beaten by dumb shit. You know? So, yeah. But again, it would be cool. It's like, yo, what the fuck did I do wrong? Yo, bro, why are you doing that shit against me? Try this, you know? Because dudes will try to help each other. Virtual Fighter. Again, Manny, that's another example. You jump into Virtual Fighter online, it is being thrown to deep end because those guys playing have been playing for 20 years nonstop. You know.
Oh yeah, those guys. Like I did like a few of those matches on there. I got owned. But yeah. I, again, I I didn't know if I did. I probably did only do three.
Yeah. But yeah, because the problem with that is, like, if it can't find anyone at your skill level, it'll take you keep going. It'll keep going up and up and up. You know, and in Virtua Fighter, it's just a bunch of sweaty guys playing. Let's just be honest, you know? But yeah, I saw that post. Romulus saw that post, excuse me. Almost broke the fourth wall there. Good stuff there. Jay Shep asked me this question right now. Do people use AI to cheat in fighting games? I don't know about AI, but they on PC, bro, they use mods, man. Sometimes there was this one Tekken player, they got caught. They got caught. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Basically, they added a mod where they would like auto block anything, you know, and like during a live stream. They were playing, and then they got distracted. They were doing some other shit. Their character still kept doing stuff, you know? It's like, bro. And this is why a lot of, like, uh-oh, console players purposely disable matchmaking for peace with PC guys. Because, you know, sometimes, people want to say, oh, all PC people. No, they don't. It's not all of them. But some do, you know? And that's why they disable, like matchmaking with PC. I wish there was I talked to J-Shep about this before. I wish there was a way where you could matchmake with other people from other consoles. You know, cause I just leave it on. I'm like, if I have to deal with a cheating PC guy, then so be it. So I've never faced one of those yet. But that absolutely happens. But, has it happened with AI? I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, but I wouldn't even know how that would work. But mods absolutely exist. You know, and those people, when they do get discovered, thankfully do get banned. But from what I understand, Bandai Namco does not do a very good job of banning this. So that's kind of fucked up, you know? But yeah, there you go. Let's move it on here. A few more questions here from J-Shep. And obviously, you know, we're just going to take them all because we didn't get a lot of questions this week. This one's funny. Am I the only part-time gooner picking up Stellar Blade on PC? like I already said, I'm going to be getting the review code probably. But is anybody here going to be buying it on PC? And Brian, I'm looking at you specifically.
Yep, I'm getting it on PC.
Nice.
But that was the plan originally when I heard that it was coming out in general. I was like, oh, okay, I'll wait for the PC version. Or I assumed it was PC on PlayStation day and date, but... Then when it wasn't, I was like, okay, I'm sure it's coming out on PC. You know, it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. And you're a patient man, you know? So that's good. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what this game's about. I think I had this thing on the show notes, but I took it off. But there's a lot of really cool things they're adding. They're even adding bosses and stuff. New costumes, obviously. So I'm looking forward to checking it out for sure. Carlos, what about you? You going to play it on PC?
No, I got it on PlayStation, so when I get to it, it'll be on PlayStation.
Yeah, makes sense. Manny, where to say?
I'm guessing all that stuff is eventually
PS5. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would think so too. Like a special mm-hmm. edition or something, you know?
Yeah, or like an upgrade thing, like a DLC extra, because they've been giving away a lot of shit for free anyway. So
yeah,
they did mention that all the stuff that's on PC is also coming on PlayStation in the patch.
I wonder if there's a crossplay ability too.
Cross save, you mean?
Cross save, sorry. Cross save ability. In other words, like you say, maybe. Yeah, I know that this game is one of the ones that doesn't have you log into PlayStation, but it would be interesting if it did do something like that, where if you did log into your PlayStation, you know, account with using that game, you know, you get a cross save, or you get, you know, a couple other things that might be fun. You know, you get your trophies.
That would be cool.
Kivos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. isn't it just trophies? I don't think it's on, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, when you put it on Steam, you get cheat achievements.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Steam achievements. Manny's categories with that.
Yes, he does. He doesn't like.
Yo, man, like feed that motherfucker.
that bitch is already eating.
Yo, he ate.
He ate already. No, he just doesn't like. He just doesn't like the door.
Uh-oh.
Jossie closed him in.
Oh, he doesn't like that. I hear that, man. Yo, man, he already ate. He done been ate. Man, you're muted.
He fat. No, he fat. He's fat. He can eat his fat, his own fat.
Eat his own fat. He done already ate. All right, another question here from Mr. J. Shep. Which game will see the light of day first? The KOTOR remake or Perfect Dark? That's a funny one. I don't know, because wasn't KOTOR remake like canceled or shelved or something?
It's in limbo. Perfect Dark at least had some gameplay.
Yeah. I don't know. J-Shep, that's a great question, as Richard would say. I have no idea. I have no fucking idea, you know? I think both of those games will come out before, whatchamacallit, but like, yeah, I don't know. Why am I forgetting the name of the fucking game? Beyond Good and Evil 2. I think they'll both come out before that.
Talk about a game that actually had gameplay, right?
Yeah, well, shit. Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? I'm clueless. I have no idea which one is going to come out first.
Gotta have something.
You know? What about you, Carlos? What do you think? What's going to come out first? KOTOR remake or Perfect Dark?
I think Perfect Dark, just because Microsoft is, you know, in better position to release games these days. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's that. KOTOR, who knows? Like you mentioned, I don't know. Did it even get canceled? Yeah, I would go with Perfect Dark.
All right, what about you, Rich? Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., are you there? There you are.
sorry about that. It was muted.
That is a phenomenal question. Exactly what he said. I'm going to guess Perfect Dark. I don't know what's going on. I also think that got canceled. We did see a little bit of Perfect Dark, but let me be perfectly clear. When I say that it will be coming first, it does not mean it's coming next year. That game may not come 27.
Shit.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. Brian, what do you think? Which one's going to be coming out first?
I think Perfect Dark, because the KOTOR remake is going to have problems because BioWare has problems.
Oh, shit, that's a good point. I think Brian may have answered the question.
Yeah, I am not disagreeing with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with.
Yeah, okay, yep. I think that's it then. It's Perfect Dark. There you go. All right. Oh, I almost missed this question, J-Shep. Sorry about that. Even though some publishers are raising game prices, and I'm glad J-Shep's here for this one. Even though some publishers are raising game prices, we are also seeing many AAA games released between $30 and $50. What are your thoughts? My question is, what are these games? I'm not being an asshole. Like, I honestly don't know what AAA games are coming out that are costing $30 or $50. Expedition 33 doesn't count, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's referencing that type of game, but Expedition 33 is a double A game that competes with triple M's.
Yeah, and J-Shep, you're there. Can you give me a list of three games? Again, I'm not trying to be an asshole. I honestly don't know. You know, because Expedition 33 does not count. Because it seems that publishers are charging you the same price as always. You know, $70. I don't know if he stepped away right now, but does anybody else here in the panel know about any triple A games that are costing between $30 and $50 released recently, this year?
Not that I know.
He goes, my fault. I'm probably counting AA games and remakes. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, because those AAA games that cost $30, $50 don't exist. They do not exist. It's all right. But to kind of sideway toss in another angle, you should get more games at that price, even if they're not AAA, you know?
Hey, I have a question for Carlos.
Uh-oh.
And Carlos can answer this now that he has completed it. So, Carlos, consider Expedition 33 AAA or AA?
It's not really. The way I define it is more by definition or more like technical in a sense. Like, we're talking about budget-wise, we're talking about studio-wise, mm-hmm. Or a combination of both. This game, even though I don't know what the exact budget is for this game, I'm pretty sure it's nowhere near the size of a budget of an actual AAA game, like Call of Duty, Halo, or any of those. So, yeah. And the studio was only, you know, the main studio. People would be like, oh, you know, they got contractors. The main studio was only 30 people by a studio releasing, I guess, their first game. I don't know if they released something previously to this, but this is the first game I know that they released. So yeah. I think by... Yes, yeah, it's the first game.
It is their first.
Yeah, so I think by most definitions, at least for me, this is a double A game.
Yeah, I mean, the game cost $15 million to develop. I think that's double A right there. And it's like 30 people in the studio. Oh, Cody, what about the contractors? Shut the fuck up. It's a small studio, you know? All right, moving on here. Last two questions of the night from Mr. Assyrian Air Force. And this is a question we kind of get every year, at least once a year. But why not throw it in here? Which console from any era had the best looking limited edition? If Adam was here, he'd be like, oh, Gears of War.
I mean, I would say the 360 had a really nice Halo one.
Let me look that one up.
Yeah, I had that one, Manny. Remember, how many times?
I still have it. I still have it under my television. So
yeah, man. I tried to save that thing. I was begging them to. Floyd, the guy wouldn't do it.
Oh, man. Or anybody else have it? Because, again, just like every time we get asked this question, I always blank because I never buy any of these, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
console,
I
never, right?
I console, it has to be a console, yeah.
I never could get one.
Which one did you, okay, so which one do you want, Manny?
Well, no, I mean, I always wanted one, like a special console. Yeah. Like, at the time of Metal Gear, at the time of Metal Gear Solid 4, they had that gunmetal gray PlayStation that was never released here in the States, or it was limited in other places.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I never was able to get that one. I wanted to see if I could get the MGS 5 one. Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, that Halo one does look nice. The Halo 3 one. There was a Donkey Kong one. that's kind of fun. Oh, there was like a cool blue PlayStation 2 and Astro Blue. There's a Star Wars one, Xbox 360 one. It's like R2-D2. It's kind of fun. There was a white PS2. I remember there was a white PS3 as well. I think Riku was talking about that one. It's a Homer Simpson Xbox. There's a lot of 360s, man. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. We replace them once they broke.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Again, I always don't know about this because I never buy any collector special editions of the...
The God of War PlayStation 4 was pretty cool. I bought that one when it came out, the Dad of War one. I like the PlayStation 4 Pro Anniversary Edition, like the bluish one. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Oh, speaking about that, the PS5 Pro Anniversary Edition with the PlayStation stuff, that was cool.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Yep.
Yeah, but I don't remember the one you're talking about, though.
It was, I forgot which anniversary, 25th anniversary, where it was like bluish, kind of, I think, a little bit translucent.
Yeah, because I see one like that for PS2. Is that what you're talking about, or...
No, PS4.
Okay. It's a Batman one, like a PS4 Batman edition.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that good.
Nah, it wasn't.
It was just the
Batman
thing on the...
Batman, motherfucker.
It was just the thing on the... They put on the side.
Yeah, it was on the side, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was one thing I did like about the PlayStation 4, where you could get, like, the special edition could just be something as simple as changing the hard drive cover, but I was never able to get any of those either.
Uh-oh. J-Ship goes, what about the SpongeBob Xbox? Sure. I don't even remember that one. That's funny.
Nobody wants.
Oh, there it is, Carlos, the translucent blue PlayStation. Damn, someone's selling that shit for $1,000. Damn, that shit looks nice, though, Carlos, the PS4 Pro one. Damn.
Yeah, man, I wanted that one, but I was like, nah, that's enough, because I already had like three of them.
Too many, you know?
It was too many.
It's crazy, man. All right, and the last one. I think there's another one. Actually, no, we haven't gotten this one specifically. Which studio acquisitions from the big three have been major disappointments? He goes, for me, it's been Bungie. I thought Sony had something special for multiplayer, but it has been bad. I think Rare was a bad one, you know? Look what Xbox has done to it.
Blue Point.
That was a bad one.
Utter waste of fucking... Yeah, it was a utter... Because what did they have Blue Point working on? They had them working on, what was it?
Demon's Souls?
Bluepoint wasn't doing the game after that.
Oh.
It was, it was like a multiplayer game. I can't remember what it was, but it was like something that they had them, that it's totally not them. It was like an online multiplayer game that they had just canceled. Yeah, I think they canceled it. That is a big disappointment. You have a company go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. My bad.
You have a company that's literally good at doing these sorts of ports and remasters and all that sort of stuff. You totally help them with their back catalog, and then they have them working on some stupid thing. I can't remember what it was. It was like, I don't know. It was like some online mode for some game.
Yeah, were you gonna say, Carlos?
Yeah, I remember we were championing the acquisition. We're all like excited because we saw what they were doing beforehand, and it turns out they just ended up doing other stuff. So yeah, I would agree, unless they, you know, they change things in the future. But I would go with Rare. Rare seems Rare is a pretty safe answer. Even though Sea of Thieves was a success, they just went from one of the best studios out to like made avatars for a decade.
Shit.
So yeah, that's one of them.
What are some other ones? It seems the Bethesda one done pretty well for them, so can't count that. you know? Activision was done pretty well for them, too. Our studio, this is from JSEP, our studios that were canceled, wait, our studios that were canceled more disappointing, or the studio that have been acquired and disappeared?
I would say like Firewalk, and Sony acquired them.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Get the result. I mean, Bungie is destined to go the same route, but man, I mean, how much years and how much money and resources
were shit
dead in less than
Firewalk's
dead.
Oh yeah, they're done. They're done. Anybody else have any studio acquisitions that you were really disappointed with? Yeah, it's hard, but I don't know. Again, Rare one is probably the big one for me.
I mean, I guess did Microsoft? Well, yeah, Tango Gameworks, that's part of Bethesda, right?
I don't know if that counts. That's Bethesda.
Well, not anymore, right?
No, well, yeah, they're gone. Not anymore.
Tango's now owned by,
I mean, yeah, that was just, that was an acquisition too. Bethesda acquired them, gobbling each other up, Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, you have a fish swimming around, a big fish comes, eats them, then a bigger fish comes and eats them,
Oh, that's what it was. It was an online God of War game. That's what
made it. Oh, God.
That's what Blue Point was.
Yeah. Because the online version of Ascension was so great, so highly regarded, right? We needed that some more. Jason goes, you mentioned Activision. Did you hear about COD Mobile? No, I have not, because I don't keep up with mobile games. What happened with COD Mobile?
Aren't they closing it down?
I legit wouldn't know.
I think that's what's happening to it. They're closing it down. In fact, I think that was one of the reasons why they said that they acquired Activision was for their mobile division. And they're literally closing down a bunch of their mobile
division. That's funny. If that's what's happening, that's funny. Adam would be able to talk about that, but he's busy with the Last of Us, which everybody is tweeting about right now, because of course they are. This dude's got to spoil things for other people, All right, man, I think we're done here. Some good stuff. Let's start wrapping it up with some plugging. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so myself, Mr. Adam Vale, Mr. Carlos Romero, with the latest episode of The Walking Dead, Dead City, episode 3. I Am Negan Podcast. It is currently a YouTube channel as well as the website, so check that out if you're a Walking Dead fan. Of course, Adam has been doing the TV Terminal. He has a covering Mobland and Last of Us. So check those out. They will also be on the website. And as for the Coalition this week, there'll be a couple of game reviews, some previews, a lot of stuff, because I'm getting ready to Summer Game Fest in the next 2. Just taking some time. Oh, yeah. Just taking some time to catch up on a few things. Cover it. We'll definitely stay tuned. Coalition.com.
That's what's up. I'll wait for Manny to stop chewing so he could plug his stuff.
Uh-oh.
Having them late night snacks.
Yo, man, chew on this.
It's more dinner. But yo, anyway,
man, it's crazy. So, man, you eating late.
Eating late. On skybound.com right now, you can get a very special reprinting of G.I. Joe issue 20 of the cover by Kari Randolph and myself. This is the silent interlude issue where everything is, it's all visual storytelling. Don't even need to know how to read in order to know what's going on. Good stuff. Special cover by Kari and myself, as well as this week. You will be getting a Ninja Turtle. This will be Michelangelo for the issue, 7, 8, 9 for the 9th issue of the current IDW TMNT. Was a lot of fun to do those. We, sold them on doing a cool cover series. So it was nice to do these really cool pinup covers of the turtles. And there's a nice little reference to the old Ninja Turtle 80s cartoon on each of those. So
nice.
Good stuff. Yep. And still a bunch of other things in the pipeline. Can't actually talk about it yet, but I would say that it's definitely a whole lot of nostalgia properties.
Ooh.
That's the only hint. So there you go.
Nostalgia's a good thing, man. By the way, real quick before we leave, since you brought up nostalgia, one of the things I was talking about yesterday, because sometimes, I like to wax nostalgic about all the things, and I've always maintained that the best decade is the 80s. And some people, have said, like, oh, Tony, it's because you're an old man. No, you got to realize I've been missing the 80s. I've been talking about the 80s hardcore since I was in my early 20s. So it's not a new thing, bro. I missed that decade. Everything about it, the aesthetics, the music, you know, the people. I miss all that stuff, man. But it's not a new thing. It's not like, oh, I'm 45. I'm thinking about my younger day. No, no. When I was 22, bro, you know, and Manny was there, so like, yeah, man, we missed the 80s. That was some fun stuff, you know?
Yep.
So
I mean, a lot of our current decade, for better or for mm-hmm. worse, is all, you know, at least Cefalo was all defined by the 80s, you know, tentpole films, you know, blockbusters, you know, big special effects films, all the marketing to kids, you know, you know, so, you know, it all came from that era of stuff. So,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I was in Industry City yesterday in Brooklyn, and we went to Book Off, and it had like die cast fucking toys. Remember those Bionic Six? You know those motherfuckers that kill you, man. Oh man, but these are die cast Gundams, but it made me think about the Bionic Six and the Transformers. You know, I used to have the actual metal ones back in the day. Fun Voltron, stuff. Voltron had that too.
Yeah, original Voltron was made of die cast.
That's why we're wearing pussies, man. When you get in a fight with someone in second grade and they throw a Tonka truck at your head.
That's it. Don't fuck it up. Jay Shep goes, bro, everything was better in the 80s. Music, movies, anime, food prices. Oh, everything, bro. All L that, you know? But yeah, just wanted to get that out there. I've been on this 80s kick since my early 20s, back in the early 2000s, bro. It's just like, you know, after the 90s, I'm like, hey, you know? I missed the 80s, bro. And then ironically, that's when you had VH1 do that whole series, We Were the 80s and stuff. It's just now that I'm like, you know, now I'm just like, you know, I kind of like the 90s too. You know, but it took me a while because I was like, fuck the 90s, man. It ain't the 80s. I was like that for a long time. But now I guess because of seeing how shit is now, it's like, yeah, we had it good in the 90s, didn't we? Fuck. That was probably the last... I know it wasn't the last sane decade. The 2000s was pretty good. 2010s, though, especially the mid-2010s, that's when things really started going off the rails, bro. You know?
The end of the 90s was when they started the whole political correctness.
Yeah, because remember, in the 90s, when you brought up political correctness, it was just a joke. Like, hey, you're being politically correct. And now it's the fucking law of the land, except they call it something else. And by the way, real quick, and then we'll sign off here. That's the other thing. I wrote an article. I think it's already up about the Capcom collection that just came out. And I had a line in there that I took it out because it was a little bit too heavy. I said, I miss these games because they remind me of a pre-9/11 world. That's the world I still miss, man. Everything got fucked up after 9/11, man. Life was good before 9/11, you know? And after that, you find out how the world really is, bro. Fuck. I miss the innocence, man. I miss the innocence. Actually, I guess that's tied in together, right? 9/11 happens, and then like a year later, I'm suddenly nostalgic for the 80s. It's all tied together, man. It's all tied together. Megatron transformed into a handgun. Hell yeah. The physics made no sense, but it didn't fucking matter. It was awesome. You know, he turned small enough to Starscream to grab. I always wonder, like, Starscream, you have a little Megatron now. Just crush him. You could become the leader of the Decepticons, bruh.
Or Blaster or Soundwave, where they would shrink down to a boombox.
A boombox, yeah.
Fucking Soundwave, man. Oh, yeah, right there turns a little boombox. That's such an 80s thing, bro. Yo, what do you transform into? A boombox, son. I love it, man.
I mean, you know what that was all about, right? It was they took two different toy lines and put them together.
Yeah, pretty much. Fun stuff, man. I miss the 80s. All right, we're done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
We still don't know how many copies AC Shadow sold.
We don't know, Brian, but apparently their stocks fell 20%. And Brian, I'm confused by that. Why did their stocks fall 20%? They said 3 million players. I don't understand this.
I know. It makes no sense, Tony. Like, surely, if that's good news, then stocks would go up.
Yeah, I don't. They told us 3 million. I don't understand. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Laters.